Okay, so we're on Daf Kuf Gimel 103a. I'll begin in the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Mid Aleph. So the Mishnah says, "Manitin haChoresh Kol Shehu." If a person is Choresh, and we're shifting over Malachot, so we started off with Zrika and Hotzaa, and then went to Makib Apatish and Bona, and now the Gemara is slipping over to Choresh. So they had in the article, they said Choresh is sort of related to Bona. It's like a little bit like the opposite in a general sense, like you're building up with Bona and here you're digging in the ground. And also, but I think the other reason that they mentioned, which is that it's a Kol Shehu, and that was the Bona was also a Kol Shehu. So it says, HaChoresh Kol Shehu, if a person plows any amount, and we'll discuss in the Gemara exactly what that means, HaManakesh, Manakesh is he's weeding the ground. So the simple pashas is that, welcome for, that's Malachat Zoreah, with Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph around the 10th line in the Mishnah. HaManakesh is weeding, and that's Malacha told of Zoreah. He says, Bahamakarsim, Makarsim is he's cutting off dead wood. Also, he's causing the plant to grow. Bahamizarid, Mizarid is cutting off the shoots that are growing out. So he says, Kol Shehu Chayav. So many of these cases, if he does any amount, he's Chayav for Malachat Shabbos. So if it's Shogeg, he'll be Chayav a Korban. Then Hamalakit Eitzim. Now Malakit Eitzim, here we're gonna, the way I'm gonna learn Pshat, there's different explanations. But one is explanation is he cuts off live branches off a tree. Hamalakit Eitzim, im the takein kol shein. If the purpose of him cutting it off is to be metakein, he wants to again to he wants to encourage the growth, so then any amount that he cuts will make him chayev. He says, im lahesek, if the purpose of him cutting off the branches is to for fuel, kedil bashel beit zakala, then the shear is, we've had the shear before, the amount of wood it takes to cook an easily cooked egg, which is a chicken egg, and it means a grogeret, not even a whole chicken egg, a grogeret of a chicken egg. Hamalakeit asabim, if a person's collecting grasses from the field, im latakein kolshu, if it's to be mitakein, so the mitakein here would be, it's either choresh or zoreah, but here he says im latakein, it's kolshu, so here he says that's for choresh. So skip the zoreah, it's choresh. So im lakein asam, im latakein is kolshu, im labehema klo piyakdi, if it's for food for his kid, for an animal, food for an animal, then the shear is malopi hagdi, like the mouthful for the animal. So everybody agrees that you're a chayav for malacha. The question is, what's the shear? So the shear will depend on what your intent is. Okay, any questions on comments, questions on the Mishnah? Any everybody good? All right, let's see further. Now, so we said, choresh kolshu, if you plow any amount, so you're chayav. So the Gemara says, l'mayin chazi, what is a kolshu ru'i for? If I just plow like a little postage stamp size amount of ground, what can I do with that? So he says, chazi l'bizru dekara. So the Gemara says, it's ru'i for a pumpkin seed. In other words, like if I plant one pumpkin seed, so I plow the postage stamp, so that's enough for the pumpkin seed. He says, the chavatagabi mishkan, and then the analogous malacha in the mishkan. We know that everything relates back to the mishkan. He says, shekein ru'i lekelach achad shlesamanim. In the mishkan, they would grow these plants, these herbs for dyes, for the to dye the curtains. So if it's enough for one stalk, if I have one stalk of the plant, that would be it. So that's why Choresh Koshu was Chayev. Okay? Now, HaMenachish from a Karsein Bamizareid, if a person, we get Menachish is weeding is removing the weeds from the ground, and that's a tolda of Zoreya, causing things to grow better because there's no weeds there. And then Makarsein, we said, is cutting off the dead wood. And then Mizareid is cutting off the shoots that are coming out of the tree. So all of those would be a tolda of Zoreah, is the way I'm learning. It's causing the plant to grow better. It says, Tan Rabbanan, Hatolesh Olshin. If a person pulls out Olshin, Olshin are endives. He says, Baha Mizareid Zeradin. And a person is Mizareid Zeradin. So that's, he's pruning reeds, they say. Imla achila, if the purpose of him getting the endives and the zradin, and again, I think Rashi brings down that there's different stages with the olshin. Let me see, the zradin. Yeah, if you look in Rashi and the Gemara, zradin, min kanim heim, it's a type of reed. Vodan rakin zordin otan lamachal adam. When they're soft, they can be cut for human consumption. In Rashi, if they get a little harder, then they're good for behema. Yavshu, when they dried up, omdin lahasaka, use it for fuel. So back in the Mishnah, zradin, imla achila, if it's for human consumption, I guess it's the soft stage with the zradin, he says, kigro geret. Imla behema, if the purpose of cutting it off is for animal food, kimlo piagdi, the size of the kid's mouth. He says, imla hesek, if the purpose of me cutting it off is for fuel, he says, kidei lebashel beitzakala, then it's enough to cook an easily cooked egg. It means a chicken egg, and we said the size of a grogeret. Imla apodada karka, but if my purpose in cutting it off is to improve the ground, so then the Gemara says kol shehein, and here we take it that that's a tolda of choresh. In other words, choresh is to improve the ground for planting. Here somehow he removes it, and I guess the it's easier to plant things, and there's no zrodin growing around. Now the Gemara says atukulu yapoto de karkin, and the Gemara says aren't all of these, whatever my purpose is, in other words, I'm tolish olshin, I pull out endives, and I'm zare zradin for different purposes, for human food, animal food. At the end of the day, isn't the ground improved from cutting it? In other words, regardless of what my intent is, isn't the ground made improved? So why is not the shear by all of them a kol shehu? Again, is the shear for choresh is kol shehu, and we said that it was like the amount to plant the pumpkin seed, and so what difference does it make what my intent is basically what the Gemara is saying. Why does it matter what my intent is? I intend this A, B, or C. At the end of the day, I'm improving the ground by taking these plants out of the ground. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Rav Yosef Damri Tarvayu Ba'agam Shana. So Rabbi Rav Yosef said the Brice is talking about in the marsh. In other words, it's a marshy land. Nobody's planting there. So there's nothing to talk about with that. So then the shear would be like, do I intend it for food A, for animal food, human food, this, that, the other. Abai says you could even say the Bryce is talking about a field, which is not a marsh, but he has no intent to improve the ground. So Abai seems to take it, he analogizes this to the case of Eino Mitkaven, that something, if I do something, something may or may not occur, and Abai is assuming that by cutting this, it may improve the ground, may not improve the ground, so we hold like Reb Shimon that Eino Mitkaven is mutar. That's the way Rashi takes it. So the Gemara says, but Bahabai Virabba Dharmi Tarvayu Motor Reb Shimon Psik Resha Velo Yamut. But Abai and Rabba both say that Reb Shimon agrees with Psik Resha. If ipso facto it's going to happen, it's not Eino Mitkaven, it's Psik Resha. So here the Gemara takes it, if the field is not in a marsh and I'm cutting it off, the field will be improved. So Mela, the Hadar Kusha Ladukta, the question is reinstated. Why is not the shear always a Kizayat? So the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha the Ka'avid Ba'ar the Chavre. The Gemara says, we're talking, the Mishnah is talking about that it's my friend's field. So it gets into the issue of, we have by Psik Resha. So Psik Resha is I do an act, and the other act will definitely occur. Like I open the refrigerator door, the light will go on. I'm not interested in light going on, but light will always go on. That's Psik Resha. So the Gemara is saying, if I cut off the plant, so the field will be improved. So the shear should be a kezias. It shouldn't be the amount of eating for humans or for animal. So the Gemara says, I'm cutting it off in my friend's field, and I don't care about improving my friend's field. So when it comes to psik resha, we have three categories. Psik resha l'nichalei, the psik resha is occurring and I'm happy with it. Then it's psik resha d'lo ichpatlei, I don't care one way or another. And then psik resha d'lo nichalei, psik resha I'm not at all happy with. Let's look at Tosfos quickly. The Tosfos, Lotzricha, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth Tosfos. Lotzricha the Avibara the Chavre. Piresh Ba'aruch, there's a famous shita from the Aruch. The Aruch is a contemporary of Rashi, Rav Natan of Rome. He wrote a dictionary, but it has more than just translation in the dictionary. He says, Piresh Ba'aruch, Psik Resha Dlo Nichale, that is talking about Psik Resha Dlo Nichale. He's not happy with what happens. Kagon, the Ka'abid Ba'ara de Chavre, U Kagon Ba'acher Sheino Wavo. In other words, he doesn't like, this guy's not his friend. He's not interested in this friend, this person. He says, or conversely, if I cut off Baheret, Baheret is a type of tsaras, so I'm admonished not to cut off the Baheret, but if I cut off the Baheret, Bishas Mila, according to the Aruch, it's not a problem because Bafilu Isud Rabbananleka, there's not even Isud Rabbanan, meaning the Aruch holds that if it's Psik Reshid Lo Nichalei, or even a psik resha lo ichpat lei, you have a green light to do it on Shabbat, which is a tremendous kula. tremendous kula. You have it? So in other words, so here, where I'm doing in my neighbor's yard, let's say the neighbor gave me permission to cut off the plants on Shabbat, and I don't care about improving my neighbor's yard. He's not my friend or anything like that. That's what Toso said. So then the Gemara is learning, then under those circumstances, so I'm allowed to cut it off, but I'm not chayav for the malacha. I don't want that malacha. I don't want the result of that malacha. So that's not the shear. That's the case that the Gemara says. Now, most Rishonim hold that it's asur midrabanan. Most Rishonim hold, not like the Aruch, that if I have a secretion lo nichale, that it's still prohibited on a rabbinic level. Still prohibited on a rabbinic level. And the sheet of the Balei Tosfot is that it's a malacha shenet tzricha lekufa. If I'm doing a malacha and the secretion occurs and I don't want the result of that malacha, that's not doing it for the purpose that was in the Mishkan. So it's a malacha shenet tzricha lekufa. So in Achinami, be prohibited on a drabanan level. Okay, let me just summarize a little bit, and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. And Robert, it looks like you have some questions. Okay, now, all right. So again, so we're doing the different shiurim with different malachot. So it came out that for Choresh, the shiur is a kol shahu that we had. Then we had other malachot, which may be in the Mishnah, a told of Zoreya, like weeding and cutting off the dead branches and cutting off the shoots. So that's also the shiur of a kol shahu. And then we learned that the Choresh was planting the seed for the pumpkin in the base of Mikdash. In the Mishkan, they would plant, they would plant like one stalk of a plant or they would have one stalk of a plant that they might have to plow for the dyes. Anyway, the Gemara said that the same act, depending on my intent, could have a different shear. So, for example, if I'm Tolish Olshin, if I uproot endives, so we said if it's for human consumption or Mizari Zeradin, I cut off these reeds. So if I cut off the reeds for human consumption, it's the size of a grogeret. If I cut it off for animal consumption, it's kmelo piagdi. It's the size of the goat's mouth. If I'm doing it lehesek for fuel, then it's labashal beitzakala, like enough to cook the easily cooked egg. In the apod karka, if my intent is to improve the ground, which is a tolda of choresh, so then kol shahu, it's kol shahu. So the Gemara says, look, well, who cares what my intent is? At the end of the day, I improve the karka. So we said, either the Gemara is talking about that's in the marsh. So in the marsh, there's no improving the karka. Nobody's planting in the marsh. Or in the alternative, the Gemara is saying, I'm doing it in my neighbor's yard. I don't care about this neighbor. I'm not interested in improving his yard. So it's psik resha, delo ichpat le or delo nichale. According to the Aruch, I am completely mutar to do that on Shabbat. And according to most Rishonim, I'm asur midrabanan level. They hold a malacha shenet tzricha lekufa, but I'm certainly not chayav a korban chatat for it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, let's go on.
What does that mean? You're allowed to cut it. Why are you cutting it?
So it means like this. So according to the Aruch, if I do an act and I'm not interested in that result, then I'm allowed to do it on Shabbat. I'm allowed to do the act on Shabbat.
So what are you cutting it for?
So he's cutting it. He wants food. He wants it for food.
So he's chayav for food.
For food, he'd be chayav, right? But the shear for food, the food shear, animal food, human food, or whatever, but not the kol shahu. That malacha he didn't do. The other thing he did do. Okay, fair is fair. Okay, let's see. For back in the Gemara. All right. So we're up to the next Mishnah. This is the last Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Mem Aleph 103a, the last Mishnah. Okay. All right. So let's take a look. Now we're up to Kotev, the malacha of writing on Shabbat. So we know that Kotev is a malacha d'oraisa, and in the Mishkan, as the Gemara is going to explain, they would mark off the krashim, with a letter, so they know which krashim were next to each keresh. The keresh, the krashim were always organized like in the same derech. So he says, Manitana Kotev Shteyotiyot. If a person writes two letters on Shabbat, Bein Bimino Bein Bismolo, whether he writes the two letters with his right hand or he writes it with his left hand, Bein Bishemachad Bein Bishtei Shemot, whether they're both the same letter or they're both different letters of the alphabet, Bein Mishtei Samaniot, whether even if he uses two inks, black ink and red ink, he says, B'chol Hashon, in any language, it doesn't matter French, English, German, Russian, he says, Chayev. He would be Chayev, and we'll clarify more in the Gemara on that. He says, I'm a Rabbi Yossi, lo chivu shtei otiyot el mishum roshem. So Rabbi Yossi says, look, the reason they mechayev shtei otiyot, I don't even need a letter. In other words, roshem is making a mark. And he says, shakak kofin al karshe mishkan leida is a benzugo. They wanted to know which krashim, you know, fit next to one another. So a mere mark is enough. So two marks is enough to be mechayev you from lechet kotev on Shabbat. It doesn't have to be a letter. Am Rabbi Yehuda, matzinu shem katan mishem gadol. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, we see, let's say a person, he intended to write a big name. He intended to write a big word. He intended to write Shimon. He says, shem mishimon. Instead, he only wrote shem. He only wrote those two letters. So even though his intent was initially to write Shimon, and then he writes two letters and stops, he's chayev for the malach on Shabbos, even though his intent was to write the whole word. He says, Shemi Shimon Mishmuel, or from Shmuel, and that's the name of the sefer. I quote it in the Rabbi Simon quotes it in the Parsha Shavua. The Shemi Shmuel, that's where the name comes from. His name was from Shmuel Borenstein. Okay, so he says here, Noach mi Nachor. Let's say he wanted to write Nachor, he just wrote Nunchet Noach. Dan mi Daniel, he wrote Dan instead of Daniel. God mi Gadiel. So in all those instances, he would be chayev. He would be chayev according to Rabbi Yehuda. One second.
Why did they give all those examples? It was the same thing four times.
Yeah, so I don't know why all those examples are there, but we'll see. All right, any other questions on the Mishnah?
So Rabbi Yossi is more strict than Tanakama?
That's correct. All right, any other questions? All right, let's see further. Now, the Gemara says, "Bishleima ayamin lechay mishum derech ketiva b'kach." Now, all Daf Yomi people know that in order to be chay from lechem machshevet, you have to do it the way the artisan does it. The artisan does it in a very careful way, and the artisan does it with kavana. Has to be melechet machshevet. All those elements are implied in melechet machshevet. So the Gemara says, I understand your chayv if you write with your right hand, because that's the way people write, with the right hand. Ela asmol amai, ha'in derech ketiva b'kach. Why does the Mishnah say your chayv if you write with your left hand? People don't write with their left hands. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yirmiya b'iter yad shanu. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, the Tana Mishnah is talking about a lefty, a left-handed person. So he writes with his left hand. That's facile for him. So the Gemara says, v'teve smol didei kimin dekuli alma. So if that's the case, he should only be chayev for writing with his left hand, not the right hand. In other words, his left hand is like everybody's right. So everybody, the right hand and the chayev, the left hand, they're not. So lefty, he's chayev for the left hand, not chayev for the right hand. So Ella Amar Abaye b'sholah b'shtei yadav. So Abaye says, the Mishnah is talking about an ambidextrous person. The person is equally facile using the right and left hand. So he's chayev whether he writes with his right hand or left hand. Most people are not that way. So if you write with your non-dominant hand, so you'd be only asked on a Drabbanan level, right? So like, you know, so if Rachman Aslan, a person has to write on Shabbos, so the first step would be always to do a kalach or yad, you know, to write with the left hand. Then you're dropping it down from a Duraisa to a Drabbanan. It's still prohibited on Shabbat, but that would be the way to approach this whole situation. All right, let's take a look. So he says, Rabbi Yaakov, Barad bar Yaakov Amar, Hamari Rabbi Yossi hi, the Amar lo chivu shtei otiyot, el mishum roshem. So he says that line in the Mishnah that says you're chayav for the right and left hand is not talking about an ambidextrous person. That line in the Mishnah is in conformity with Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Yossi says you make two marks, you're chayav. So to make a mark, I don't need right hand, left hand. I can make a mark easily with my right hand, left hand. So according to Rabbi Yossi, I'd be chayev with both hands. So the Gemara says, "Vahami the sefer Rabbi Yossi, he reshalav Rabbi Yossi." But since the sefer of the Mishnah explicitly says that's where Rabbi Yossi comes in, so presumably the earlier line is not like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, "Kulu Rabbi Yossi." No, it all is reflects Rabbi Yossi. And let's look. If you look in the Masoras Hashas, it's below where we are at the bottom. You see this blurb in the right hand column. It's the right of Rashi. Begins with a bracket, ends with a bracket. So at the end of the blurb, he quotes other places in Shas where you have a similar turn of phrase, and then four lines to the bottom. Ha'omer devar b'shem omro, v'ha'tana shachach v'lo v'zkir shmo b'tchila, v'chazar v'zkir shmo. The Tana forgot to mention Rabbi Yossi's name, and then he mentioned it at the end, and he kept the formulation the way it had been formulated. So in Achinami, that earlier line in the Mishnah, so the earlier line in the Mishnah is either an ambidextrous person, or the earlier line in the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Okay, everybody good? Any questions? All right, let's go further. All right. So we're 5-6 lines from the bottom on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Matzinu V'chulei. So the Gemara says, so the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that we have a Shem Katan, Mishem Gadol. If a person intends to write a long name, and he wrote two letters of the long name, he's Chayev. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shtei Otiot, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Matzinu. Ela Rabbi Yehuda Shtei Otiot Hein, V'hein Shnei Shemot Hudim Chayev. He says, so if I write two letters, and there are two different names, I'm Chayev. I didn't say right. There are two different. There are two letters and they're different letters. He's chayev. Shtei otiyot bein shem echad lo mechayev. But if I write two letters and they're the same letter, I'm not chayev. Maybe they could answer your question this way, Fern. That the Gemara, in other words, since he gives all these different cases where you have two letters, and it's taken names from Tanakh, where the two letters are different letters, and we'll see that in Tanakh sometimes we have the same letter. He says. Let me see if Rashi brings it down here on Amud Beis. So we'll see on Amud Beis. Yeah, we have it here. If you look in Rashi, 8 lines from the bottom, Hashtei otiot bein shem echad, if I have two letters and they're like the same letter, could go in Sheish mi Sheishach. So Sheishach is a name in Tanakh. Yeah, who knows where Sheishach is? Who knows where Sheishach is in Tanakh?
Is it in those generations between Adam and Noah?
I don't think so.
It was a guess.
You know, I was thinking for a moment that it might have been this week's Parsha Shavua. The Gemara says about the Anakim, Achiman, I think Sheshai v'Talmai, not Sheshach, Sheshai v'Talmai. But I think Sheshach is mentioned in Sefer Daniel. I think it's mentioned in Sefer Daniel. Anyway, go on Shesh mi Sheshach, Otat mi Titdan, Ochach mi Chachim, Lo Mechayev. So since Rabbi Yehuda only mentions different letters, so it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda says if I have the same letter, I would not be chayev. So now the Gemara is going to ask what we think is the stira. We're going to learn this brisa. You have to be patient with the brisa. We don't understand every sheet in the brisa. You know how this works. We go through the brisa. There'll be about half a dozen sheet out in the brisa, and you'll all have questions, but you wait for the Gemara because you are experienced daf yomi learners, and you wait for the Gemara to tease it apart. Okay? So as a result of this brisa, it's going to come out that Rabbi Yehuda will say that if you write two letters that are the same letters, that you're chayev. That'll be the stira. Okay? And then the Gemara is going to say that one represents his own opinion, one represents his Rebbe's opinion. Okay, so that's the next 30 lines of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Vahatanya, we learn the Braisa, V'yasa Achad. So this Pasuk is talking about a person who does an act in Shogeg. He does, it could be any Avera, V'asa Me'achat Me'hena. He does from one of them, but Chazal have a Drasha on it. So the Torah could have said, V'asa Achad. He did an Avera. He says, Yechol Atshich, so, with reference to Shabbos, it's doing a malacha on Shabbos, but Shogi, he's chayav korban chatat. Yechol ad sheyichtov kol hashem. So I might have thought, if I just looked at the word, if it just says achad, I would have thought that he's got to write the whole name he intended to write, or the whole word. Yad shero kol habegin. And if he's weaving, he has to weave the whole garment. That would be doing the whole act. He says, v'ad sheyaseh kol hanafa. If he's sewing together a sieve, so the sieve, if you have the art scroll, they have a picture. Right. So art school people, if you look on 103A4, you see a picture. It shows like it's reeds. In other words, he's building a reed sieve. So he's weaving it like weaving on a loom. So there's like, you know, all the reeds coming down. That's the sheti. And the Arab are the cross reeds. So I would think that he's got to have all the cross reeds in. It looks like a fabric. He says, Tamalomar Me'achat. So Me'achat means I don't have to do the whole thing. Me'achat, if it's Me'achat, that's the Torah says Me'achat. Yasa Me'achat. In other words, he doesn't do one, he does from one, less than one. So he says, Yechol afilu lo katab al od achat. I might have thought, even if he wrote one letter, below a ragel achud achat, he only weaved one thread through. He says, he only had, if you look at the picture in the art scroll, he only weaved one like cross weave. Let me see if I have a picture here. One second, where is this? No, they didn't. I don't see a picture here. All right, we don't have a picture here. All right. Okay, so the Gemara says, I would have thought that he's chayev. So turn page, the top line of Kuf Gimel Beis, Tamalomar Achad. So it's one, but it's less than one. Haketzad. So how do, again, this is the Bryce is still speaking. So how do I reconcile it? Eino chayav at shichtov shem katan mishem gadol. He's only chayev if he writes. He writes, a short word that's part of a longer word. Then he'd be chayiv. He says, Shemi Shimon, for example, Shemi Shimon Umishmuel, Noach Minachur, Dan Mi Daniel, Gad Mi Gadil. So here, the Tanakama of the Brisa seems to be the same as Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, right? That's identical with Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah we just learned. Now, the second opinion, now here we have Rabbi Yehuda, and this is going to be the problem with us. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Ketav Elishtei Otiyot V'hein Shem Echad Chayav. Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you only wrote two letters, and it's the same letter, you're Chayav. He says, Kigon Sheish Tat Ror Gag Chach. So he's got like, if you look in Rashi, the first narrow line, Vemi Tebo Gedolo. In other words, those letters come from a bigger word. Kigon Sheish Mishesh Batzar, Misheshach. Sheshmam, sheshamem. He said, in other words, you have words that have double letters in them. He says, tat mi titra'u. That I know, that's by Yaakov Avinu. He says, titenu. V'chol shkein im tkaven l'ktan etchil. Certainly, if he intended to write the short word, certainly then he'd be chayev. So back in the Gemara, so that's going to be the stira. Okay, so in our Mishnah, Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, two letters, even if it's from a larger word, but the two different letters. Here in the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda says two letters, even if they're the same letter, if it's from a bigger word, even like sheish, tat, and things like that. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, now here's another opinion. Amar Rabbi Yossi, v'chimishim kotev hu chayev? Is he chayev for kotev? V'aloeinu chayev alamishim roshem. The malacha is roshem, making a mark, which we mentioned in the Mishnah. He says, shekein roshem in al karshem ishkan le'del ezo hi ben zugo. L'fichach, therefore, if he makes a mark, like a line across two boards, or two marks on one board, chayav. So according to Rabbi Yossi, is the most machmir shita. That's what you said, Yosef, right? So I just make a mark, you know, that's it, I'm chayav. I make two marks, I'm chayav, according to Rabbi Yossi. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, okay, we have another opinion in the Brisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Biasa achat. So again, he's going back to the pasuk. The pasuk actually says biasa me'achat mehena. But if the Torah would have said ba'asa achat, yechol ad shechtov et kol hashem, I would think you're only chayev if you wrote the whole word that you intended to write. Ad shiro kol abeged, till you weave the whole garment you intended to weave. Ad shaset kol anafa, until you put together the whole sieve that you intended to put together. Tamalomar me'achat. So me'achat is less than that. I might have thought that even if he wrote one letter, he wove one thread. In other words, he's got the shati and he weaves one thread, one cross thread. He says, means he has one cross reed in the sif that he wants to make. You're not chayiv until you do a malacha that endures. In other words, if it's a physical object, it won't come apart. So I'm weaving, you know, so I have two threads, and I'm making the sieve, and I have two things. And if I have two letters, it's like I've accomplished something. You know, ad mitkayemet. In other words, it has meaning. Like two letters have meaning. Then I'm chayiv. Now the Gemara is going to ask that we think that Reb Shimon seems to be the same as Rabbi Yehuda on the third line. That if I two letters, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So I'm chayiv, even if they're the same letter. So that's the same. That seems to be the same as Reb Shimon. The Gemara will be mechalek. Rabbi Yossi Omer, now another opinion, or Rabbi Yossi again. Rabbi Yossi Omer v'asa achat v'asa hena. This is a different Rasha. So the pasuk says v'asa me'achat mehena, v'asa me'achat mehena. He does. In other words, he's doing an Aveira B'shogeg, and he's violating a lotas in the Torah, that's Chayiv Karet, and the Torah says, Va'asa me'achat me'hena. He does from one, from these. So the Gemara, so he says, Va'asa achat, va'asa hena. He does one, he does many. Pamim shechayiv achat al kulan. Sometimes, again, with reference to Shabbos, he's chayiv one korban chatat for doing many malachot, and we've had this already, and you know what's coming up. Upamim shechayev al kol achat v'echad. Sometimes you're chayev for every malacha. So sometimes you're chayev, you know, just one korban, right? That's when you forgot it was Shabbos, right? You forgot it was Shabbos, you do a lot of malachot, so you're chayev one korban. But if you remember it was Shabbos and you forgot the malachot, you chayev many korbanot. Okay, that's the braisa. So we're only interested initially with the statement, the articulation of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda on the third line. So in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, you write two letters, but they're different letters. And then braisa, he says, you write two letters, even if they're the same letter, you're chayev. So how do we reconcile those two opinions? So Katani Mie Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afilu Katav El Shtei Otiot Mehen Shem Echad Chayav. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you wrote two letters of the same letter, you're chayev. So lo kasha, there's no contradiction between the Rabbi Yehuda statement in the Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda statement in the Braisa. He says, hadidei hadrabei. One reflects his own opinion, his own personal opinion, which is in the Mishnah. And in the Braisa, he's reflecting his Rebbe's opinion. The Tanya, because we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda says, and Mishum means he had a Mesora from the Tana Rabbi Gamliel, Afilu Ketav El Shtei Otiot Vein Shem Echad Chayav, that Rabbi Gamliel holds that even wrote two letters and in the same letter, you're Chayav, Yon Sheish Tat Rar Gag Chach. Okay, so that question we've answered. Okay, let me pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? So the basic idea we were discussing, we're going to discuss the rest of the Braisa in a minute, but just focusing on the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you only wrote two letters, and even if you originally intended to write a larger word, but you wrote two letters of the word, but they're two different letters, but means that the two letters are something that are comprehensible. They form a word. That's what he's saying. In other words, the two letters are a word, like Dan mi Daniel. So then, according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, I'm chayev. But according to the Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa, I'm chayev even if I write two letters that are the same. I intend to write Sheshach. I wrote Shesh. You know, that's a more greater hischayevus. So one reflects Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion, and the other reflects the Rabbi Yehuda's quoting from Rabbi Gamliel. That's his opinion. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far?
Yeah, I got a question.
What's up?
Where in the Mishnah did Rabbi Yehuda say it has to be different letters? So was it implied?
It is in the Mishnah. He says, right, it's implied from the examples that he gives, right?
So it's just implication by the examples. He didn't actually say
the examples. All the examples are different letters, right? Okay. That's what the Gemara extrapolated. All right. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay. Now, having brought up this long brisa, we're on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. We're on the second very wide line, Michael. Okay. So he says, the second wide line. Rabbi Shimon Hainu Tana Kama. So now we're leaving Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda's on the side. We're focusing on the other opinions in the brisa. So the Tana Rabbi Shimon said that as long as you do something that's shekayote ba mekayemet, that endures, that's like in other words, like I accomplished enough for now, I could leave it. Like, you know, I wove two threads, I could leave it. I wrote the two letters, like I accomplished enough. So that we think is, when it says the Tanakama here, so he's not using it the way Tanakama is normally used. Usually in Tanakama is the first time I mentioned the Braisa. Here, the way the Mefarshim say it means, the art scroll had it, that he's referring to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Isn't Rebbe Shimon the same as the Tana Rebbe Yehuda? That I write two letters, even if they're the same letters, I'm a chayiv. Isn't that, what's the difference between Rebbe Yehuda as in the Braisa and Rebbe Shimon? So the Gemara says, V'chitema Aleph Aleph Da'azreka Ika Benayu. Maybe say, look, the nafkamina will be, are you chayiv if you wrote two, you intended to write Azreka, and you wrote Aleph Aleph. That's the nafkamina. The Tanakama Savar, Aleph Aleph Da'azreka L'machayiv. Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, which is quoting Rabbi Gamliel, holds, if I write Aleph Aleph, that has no meaning, no understanding whatsoever, so that I'm not chayiv for. He says, Rabbi Shimon Savar came into Ita Bagal Turi Ba'alma chayiv. Rabbi Shimon holds, since people will use those two letters on amulets, they'll have writing with two olives, he holds your chayiv. That's what we want to say. So if that's the case, the Gemara is going to shoot holes through this as a hesber. But the Gemara wants to say, assuming arguendo, that that is a difference between them. So it comes out that Reb Shimon is more machmir than Reb Yehuda. L'meimer the Reb Shimon l'chumra. Then it comes out Reb Shimon has a more stringent opinion. He holds that even if I write two letters and the two letters are meaningless by themselves, I'm still chayiv because these letters are used on amulets, so that has that. So Bahatanya, but we learn in the Braisa, Hakodea kol shu chayav. If a person drills any amount, he's chayav. That's malachat bona. Hamagarer kol shuhu. If a person scrapes, in other words, he could be scraping a hide or a parchment. That's mamachek, right? He says hamaabed kol shuhu. Maabed is he's tanning. We had this in Klal Gadol. Yeah, any amount. He says hatsar bekli tsura kol shuhu. If he makes any design on a kli, he says Rabbi Shimon. So then he's chayav, according to the Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ad shik dachet kulo. Rabbi Shimon says, if he's drilling, let's say he intends to drill a hole through a pole or whatever he's drilling, so he's not chayav till he drills all the way his whole intent. He says, ad shik ror et kulo. And if he's got like a piece of parchment, till he scrapes the whole parchment. He says, ad shik abeda kulo, or if it's a piece of hide, till he does the whole hide. Ad shik abeda kulo, till he tans the whole hide. Till he makes the whole design he intended to design, he's not chayiv. So Rib Shimon is more makil, obviously. And he's more makil by the all these malachot, and he's more makil even by making a design. So we assume he'd be more makil by kotev. Ella, Rib Shimon ha'atal shwinan. So the Gemara revises our understanding of Rib Shimon. Ella, Rib Shimon ha'atal shwinan. Ad shechtov and Hashem kulo. So we misunderstood what Reb Shimon was saying. Reb Shimon holds, you're not chayiv till you write the whole word. Then you're chayiv. That's what Reb Shimon means. You write the whole word. So he's more mekil. Umimatzin amin hachi. How could you say such a thing? Vatani, we learn in the Braisa, Reb Shimon Omer, v'asa achat. Again, the same pasuk we've been discussing again and again and again. He v'asa me'achat mehena. He v'asa achat. Yecholat shechtov and Hashem kulo. I might have thought you have to write the whole word. Tamalomar me'achat. So clearly, in that braisa, Reb Shimon holds you don't have to write the whole word. So again, we're trying to understand how is Reb Shimon different than the Tana Reb Yehuda in the braisa. So we thought that maybe he was more machmir, that even the two same letters that don't have any meaning, like aleph, the Gemara said that can't be because Reb Shimon is more makil. Then we thought Reb Shimon is saying you have to have the whole word, but that can't be because Reb Shimon says explicitly you don't need to write the whole word. So taritz ve'emahachi, we should like understand the braisa as if it says like this. I might have thought that I have to write the whole pasuk. In other words, he intends to write a whole sentence. So he's not chayav for kotev until he writes the whole sentence that he intends to write. Tamalomar me'achat. So me'achat means he does not have to write the whole. So we misunderstood the last braisa. So it doesn't mean that he has to write the whole word. It just means that, we're not saying that. So Reb Shimon is saying you have to write the whole word. And the braisa that we thought that it meant he doesn't have to write the whole word doesn't mean that. The braisa means he doesn't have to write the whole sentence. But in Achinami, the Tan Reb Shimon holds that a person has to write the whole word they intended to write in order to be chayav for kotev. That's the way it's coming out. All right. Let me just do four more lines, and then I'll pause and take some questions, okay? Reb Yossi Omer, Yasa achat v'asahena. So this is a different drasha. Again, Rabbi Yossi at the end of the braisa has this drasha. So it says, "V'yasa me'achat mehena." Let me get the whole pasuk for you. It says in Chumash. Let me see. It's quoted here. What is it? 1 minute. Yeah, so it says, it's quoted in footnote 37 in the Art School on Amud Aleph, Nefesh ki techeta v'shkaga, if a person sins unintentionally, mikomotzvot Hashem, from any of the commandments of Hashem, asher lo teasena, which may not be done, v'yasa me'achat mehena. He does me'achat, like from one, sounds like less than one, mehena, of them. So the Gemara takes it that it's a reference to the malachot on Shabbat. That's the way the Gemara takes it. So let's learn the drasha from Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, v'yasa achat v'asahena. You do one and you do many. Pamim shechayav achat al kulan. Sometimes a person does many malachot and he only chayav one korban chatat. And we mentioned it a few minutes ago, and we mentioned it in Klal Gadol, and we're going to mention it in another few minutes. He says, pamim shechayav kol achat v'achat. Sometimes he's chayav for every malacha. So we said that if I forgot today is Shabbos, and I do the malachot, I'm only chayav one korban. So I do many malachot, I'm chayav one korban. That's the achat. And then sometimes Haina is them. Sometimes I'm chayav a lot of korbanot chatat. I remember today's Shabbos, but I forgot them lachot. Then I'm chayav multiple korbanot chatat. But I'm a Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Chanina, my tamad Rabbi Yossi. So what's the reason for Rabbi Yossi? So achat me'achat. In other words, the Torah could have written achat. Instead, the Torah wrote me'achat. Asa achat. He did one abeira. Instead, the Torah wrote me'achat. He does from one. It sounds like less than one. Haina me'haina. And the Torah could have written haina and wrote me'haina. Achat shi'haina. And then another drasha is achat shi'haina v'haina shi'achat. He says that sometimes the one is many and the many is one. So achat shimon. So how he explains. Achat is I intend to write Shimon. Me'achat shemi Shimon. In other words, if I write Shimon, I'm chayev. But if I just write shemi Shimon, I'm chayev. That's me'achat. He says, Haina, them, that's referring to avod. Me'haina, toldot. It's a reference to toldot. In other words, I have many avod and then I have many toldot. Achat shehaina, one that's many, that's don't Shabbat, but she got malachot. I knew today was Shabbos, but I forgot the malachot. So that I'm chayev for many korbanot chatat. Haina shi'achat, many, which ends up being one, shigat Shabbat is don malachot. I forgot today was Shabbos, but I knew the malachot are prohibited on Shabbos, but I forgot today was Shabbos. I'm only chayev one korban chatat. Okay, let's pause for a minute. Well, let me just summarize, then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so the issue that we're trying to get at is what are the contours of malachot kotev on Shabbat? What does it mean to write on Shabbos? When do I violate the Torah's prohibition of writing on Shabbat? So everybody agrees that I learned it from that they would mark the kreshim, they would mark the beams in the Mishkan. But do I say that marking means I'm writing two different letters because that's what they would write Aleph Beis, let's say Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hei Vav. Now they know where all the kreshim fit in. So does it mean two letters? And does it have to be that the two letters that are different, you know, had some meaning together? Or even if I write two letters, but I was trying to write a bigger word and these two same letters are in the word, or even two same letters which have no meaning, but you know, they're using amulets, or maybe it just means to make a mark, a line, like, you know, bang, bang, well, line here, a line there, and that's enough to be mechayev me on Melechet Kotev. You know, I was thinking today, let's say in Western languages, you have letters, like all the Western languages, or many of them have alphabets. But in a lot of the Eastern languages, like Chinese and Japanese and Korean, they don't have letters per se. They have like little, you know, pictograms, you know, like a little picture, like you have a picture of a house means the word for house or something like that. It's a little bit similar to, well, not exactly. So what would be the hischaivus there? How much would you have to write to be chayiv that way? So I was speaking to Rabbi Eli Belazon today. I think he said that even if you would write one of those symbols, so then you're chayiv. But that would be that. Anyway, then Agav Orcha, we mentioned this whole drasha about the pasuk, v'yasa me'achat me'hena, that in that pasuk we have a remez to that which we've learned before, that when it comes to Shabbos, you have one lav, lo tasa kol malacha, but there are a lot of ways to violate that lav because you got 39 malachot. So the Torah says, don't do any malacha, don't do any work, but there's a zillion ways to do the work. So so when am I chayiv if I do, you know, Mzoreya, Choresh, Kotzer, Ma'amir, Dash, Zore, Borer, if I do all those malachot, am I chayiv one korban or many korbanot? So we learned already in Klal Gadol that if I forget today is Shabbos and then I do the malachot, so then I'm chayiv one korban. You got it, Yosef. But if I remember today's Shabbos and I forgot the malachot, I'm chayiv multiple korbanot. So there's a remez for that in the Pasuk. That me'achat me'hena. Sometimes it's achat one. Achat means one. Hena means them. Sometimes it's one. You know, I violate and I'm chayiv one. And sometimes I violate, I'm chayiv for many. And then we also had a reference there to avod and toldot. And anyway, so who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? What's up, Fern?
Does anyone make comments about writing one letter? I mean, you are talking about achat. But no one says that it's Ot Achat.
Again, this is what we had discussed, that you can't have one writing because its sources in the Mishkan, they would mark two Krashim. So either they're writing two letters on the Krashim, or according to Rabbi Yossi, they could write one mark, but like one line, but nobody says I could just write one letter. to be chayav on.
That's chatzi shir, no?
Right. That's exactly what we're talking about. Right.
But we had all those other mishnayot that said kol shehu, kol shehu, kol shehu. So it's
but kotev is not kol shehu. All right. Now, all right. Let's see further in the Gemara. All right. Everybody else good? Any other questions? Okay. We're making good headway. All right. We're 10 lines from the bottom. Let me slow down a drop, but not too much. So I want to have time for our voting and then to go to Mincha. Okay. So I see Fern. Oh, she's honed in on this vote. Okay. So now the Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Matzino Shem Katan Mishem Gadol. So the Tan, this is back in the Mishnah. We had Rabbi Yehuda and the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah. Now we're going back in the Mishnah. So in the Mishnah, the Tan of Rabbi Yehuda said that even if you intended to write a larger word and you wrote two letters of the word, like Shem Yishmuel, you're chayav for ksiv on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Midami, how does that fit in? The Gemara is saying, let's say if I'm writing Shmuel or Shimon, so I would write Shin, and then Mem has two forms, right? There's a final Mem and an intermedial Mem, right? So if I'm writing it that way, so I write Shin and then like the middle letter Mem. And then if I leave it, it doesn't look like shame, right? Because shame would be a Mem Sofid. Everybody have that? Okay. So the Gemara says, Midami, Mem de Shame Satun. In other words, if I write shame, it's a closed Mem, like a box. Mem de Shimon Patuach. Mem de Shimon is Patuach. So how can you say I've written something in a way that's sort of understandable? It's not written in the proper fashion. So Amar Rav Chisda Zotomeret, Satum ba'aso patuach kasher. So Rav Chisda says we can extrapolate from Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the Mishnah that if something normally should be written closed off and he writes it in an open fashion, in other words, he writes shame, but he does it with the intermediate mem, that's also a proper way of writing. It's also a proper way of writing. He says, so meifei. So in this we ask Akasha from the following brisa. This brisa is going to talk about dinei safras, and he's going to prove from the brisa that it's not true. In other words, so we want to say, in other words, if I'm supposed to write the word shame, and it's supposed to be a mem sofit, and I write like a mem, you know, petucha, that's okay, but it's not going to come out that way. So he says, meifei. Uch taftam. So this pasuk we're familiar with from Kriyat Shema. Uch taftam zobetech sharecha. So he says shetek tivatama. So it's the drash that Chazal have that it has to be tivatama, perfect writing. When you're writing Sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzah, so the writing has to be perfect. Shlo yichtov aleph and ayin. So the way Rashi takes it, that an aleph and an ayin are pronounced similarly, and that I should not interchange those two letters as a result of the pronunciation. I think our Sephardic friends are a little better with pronouncing the ayin than we Ashkenazi, but they are, even with the Sephardim, they are similar. One's more guttural. He says, but a lot of other Mepharshim say that the aleph and the ayin look somewhat similar. There are pictures in the art scroll, if you want to look. Ayinin alephin. I shouldn't interchange an ayin with an aleph. Beitin kafin, a bait and a kaf look similar. Kafin beitin, I should not interchange those two. Gamin sadin, a gimel with a tzadi looks similar. Sadin gamin and tzadi with a gimel. Dalitin ration, a dalit with a resh, ration dalitin, a ration and dalit look similar, so I shouldn't interchange them. Heyin chetin, chetin heyin, I shouldn't interchange a hey with a chet. He says babin yudin, yudin babin, I shouldn't exchange the bab with a yud. Zainin nunin nunin zainin. I shouldn't exchange zayin with a nun. Tetin peifin. I shouldn't exchange a tet with a pei. Peifin tetin. Kifufin pshutin. Now pshutin means some letters have a longer form and a more bent over form, like a pei. A pei is round, you know, rounded, and then the end letter has a more straight form. Same thing with a nun. So I shouldn't exchange those two. Pshutin kifufin. Then. Memin samchin, samchin memin. I shouldn't interchange a mem with a samich. He says, stumin ptuchin. Now, here's the part that interests us. So, again, so some letters have a satum, like a closed form, and an open form, like the mem. So I shouldn't interchange those two, ptuchin, stumin. Then parsh ptucha lo yasena stuma. Something's supposed to be a parsh ptucha, I shouldn't make it stuma. Stuma lo yasena ptucha. Again, so I assume everybody knows, parsh ptucha means, if in the Sefer Torah, so things are written if the space opens up into the column, that's ptucha. If the space is in the middle of the column, surrounded by words, that's stuma. So he says, "Ktavak shira Oshitavara Shira Kiyotiba, let's say I write the regular part in the Sefer Torah like the Shira, like Ariyaka Gabi Labena. You know, the Shira is written differently. I'm sure you've seen in the Sefer Torah. He says, so if I write the Shira in the regular Ktav, Osh Ktav Shlobit Yom, where I write it without using ink. Instead of using ink, let's say I use red ink or something, red pigment. He says, Osh Ktav Askarop Zahav, or I write this Shem Hashem in gold. He says, Are Elu Yiganzu. So any of those situations have to be put in Geniza. So the part that we're taking from the Brisa is that the two memim are not interchangeable. So again, so it's Hadar Kushi L'duchta. So if I'm writing Shem, I intend to write Shimon, I'm going to write like the middle mem. So how could I be chayev for writing? It's not the normal way of writing the Shem to write, you know, with the middle mem. So the Gemara says, Huda Marki Haitana. So the Gemara says, all is not lost, that we think, and the Gemara is going to reject this, that Rav Chisda says that they're interchangeable. He's following the following Tana. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Huda ben Batera Omer, Nemar B'Sheni V'Neskehem, B'Shishin V'Sachem, B'Shvi Yikim Mishpatam. So there's a drasha Chazal have, it says in Parsha Pinchas, by the different korbanot that are brought on Sukkot. So remember, the parim are change each day, right? By Sukkot, the parim, you start off, I think, with 13, goes down. So, but then there are some other shinuyim in the paragraphs over there. So it says in the second day, it says v'niskehem. He says on the seventh day, it says unisacheha. And I didn't write, I'm sorry. B'sheni v'niskehem. On the second day, it says v'niskehem. B'shishi v'nisachel. On the sixth day, in other words, usually it says v'niska. Usually it says v'niska. It's nesach. But on the second day, it says v'niskehem. They're in nesachim. So it's a variation. And then on the sixth day, b'shishi, it says unisacheha. You have an extra yud there. B'shvi, on the seventh day, it says not k'mishpat, k'mishpatam. An extra mem. So hare mem yud mem. So I have an extra mem, an extra yud, an extra mem. Mayim. So mayim. It says mikan remez l'nisuch mayim in a Torah. So from here I see a remez for the mitzvah of nisuch mayim. We know that there's a mitzvah to pour water on the mizbeach each day during Sukkot, and there was a big simcha in the Beis Hamikdash on the second night of Sukkot. And so here we see a remez. We don't see the mitzvah mafurish in the Torah, but we have a remez to it. But in the remez, mayim, the first mem of mayim is with a mem sofit, right, a final mem. But we're using it for the drasha as the middle mem. So we see that they are interchangeable. So the Gemara wants to say, kasher. So assuming that that's the correct drasha, so I have something that's, you know, should be patuach, but it's written satum, and that's kasher. Satum nami, satum ba'aso patuach kasher. So the other thing is also good. So we think it's a machloket tanaim, where the letters can be interchangeable. And we think the Rav Chisda is saying they are indeed both interchangeable, and therefore if you wrote shem mi shimon, and you wrote the middle mem, so you're chayef for ksiva. So the Gemara says, mi dami, how can you compare our case to that case? Or how can you compare where you're changing something to satum, or you change something to patuach? Midami, patuach va'aso satum. If something normally should have opened, but you made it satum, like in that last brisa, turn page, we're on kuf dalet amud aleph, top line. Ilui kama alila, you're increasing the standard. It's like sounds like greater kedusha of the letter. If the letter we think is satum is on a higher level. He says the amar Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda said, Mem v'samach shabaluchot b'nei sayu omdin. We think right now that all the memim in the Aseret HaDibrot were written satum, were written like the final letter. And Mela, since they're written like the final letter, and it's charut, it was engraved through and through, charut luchot, it goes from one end to the other end. In other words, the luchot is like a box, a stone box. So it goes through to through from one end to the other end. So Rav Chisda says that the mem and the samach were benes, in other words, like the middle part is like suspended through a miracle. So he says, so that's on a higher level. So if it's satum, that's a higher level. So if I'm switching a letter that should have been a middle letter and I make it a final letter, that's I'm going like an upgrade. So that's the case with the drasha with the nisa kamayim. He says, ela satum ba'aso patuach, but in the case that we were talking about in the Mishnah, where for shame, it should be a final mem, and he writes it like a middle mem. He says, Girui Kamagarale, it's like a lower standard. It's not the same thing. So he says, Da Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Bitema Rabbi Chiya Baraba, because Rabbi Yirmiyah say, others say, Rabbi Chiya Baraba said, Manspach Sofim Amrum, that Manspach, we think the pshat is that the letters, we have these seven letters, right? Seven, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm sorry, five letters, right? So the Manspach are the five letters that have different forms, whether they're in the middle letter or the end of the letter. We think that the memra is that the Nevi'im or Mechadesh, the middle form. That's what we think. So initially they only had the final form, and then later on they got the middle form. So the middle form is not on the same level as the higher form. That's what we think. So then we have a problem. So I'm writing Shem Yishimon. So I'm writing like the middle letter, but the middle letter, it's not the letter Shem. And the letter Shem should be a final letter. A final letter is like a higher standard. So how can I be Chayav for Ksiva if I'm doing like I'm shortchanging the word? So the Gemara says Vitizbara. Does that make sense what we just said? Va'aktiv, the Torah says, Eila mitzvot, Shena Navi Rasha Ilachadesh Dabar Me'ata. A Navi is not allowed to innovate things. So how could the Navi possibly make an innovation in the way a Sefer Torah is written? He says, Ela Mahaba Havoi. He says, no, that they had both letters. They had middle letters and final letters. He says, Meida Lohavi Yadin Heba Emsateva Heba Softeva. So they didn't know. They didn't know which letters go in the middle and which go in the end of the letter. 1 second. Right. So they didn't know which letter goes in the middle, which go in the end. He says, "Va'atu sofim takninu," and then the Nevi'im came later on and were metakin. So we think that both letters we think are interchangeable, but the Nevi'im later on and were metakin. These letters are going to be at the end of the word, and these letters are going to be in the middle of the word. So he says, "Vakati elam misfochin anavi rashi lechadish davar meyata." But still, a navi is not allowed to be mechadish, and here they're innovating. Ela shechachum mechazru v'yistum. So in Achinami, the Gemara says that both letters existed in the time of Matan Torah, and they're both on a high level, and there is not like a greater level for the mem and the samech than the other letters. He says, but they forgot which goes in the middle of the word and which goes at the end of the word, and it's hard to understand how they would have forgotten such a thing, and Mepharshim talk about that, and then the Nevi'im came and reestablished the way it was initially. So the limud is coming out at the end that in Achinami, a person could be chayav for writing Shem Yishimon, because in other words, the final mem is not on a higher level than the middle mem, and in Achinami, writing those two letters is enough to be mechayav you, okay? Even though when you're writing in a form that wouldn't be normally written that way. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did? Okay, now everybody unmute yourselves. I want everybody to unmute yourselves.
You went extra fast today.
Because we have to have a discussion now. That's why we're doing extra fast. And it's not that extra fast because it's 7:45 would be 1 hour. And let me end the recording. 1 second.